It's so important that we hear the voice of God. Why? And then follow what He says, His instructions, in order for us not to be snatched or taken away from Him. And I'm telling you, you just need to say, I tell you what, I'm a shepherd, I'm a sheep. Everybody say, I'm a sheep. And I hear the voice of the good shepherd. Well, who's the good shepherd? Jesus. I hear His voice. I said, I hear His voice. You know, I was, we went to a baseball game last night, and Groesbeck played Buffalo. I don't know if y'all know, one of them was number one in the district, one of them was number two. Buffalo came in number one, Groesbeck came in number two. The only team that beat Groesbeck was Buffalo. And Buffalo was undefeated. So they came in there, and my grandson played the early game, which he's in the JV, and of course I wear my Buffalo cap, and I intended to take my Groesbeck, but forgot it, so we moved over to the other side later. But the thing about it is, we were sitting there, and they're playing baseball, and they're both great teams. These guys can play baseball, both deal. And so they played and played, I think it got down to the seventh inning, the bottom of the seventh inning. The score was 5-4, Buffalo winning. So they're there, and I could hear people in the stands of Groesbeck said, I don't understand how Groesbeck cannot beat them. And this is what they're talking back here. I don't understand how they just get in their head. They just can't beat them. Now, the game's still going. But they're already talking defeat. They're talking defeat. And so I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, why are you even saying that? They're still playing. There's a batter up there right now. Now, he's the batter's up there. He's got two strikes, one ball, and two outs. Now, the odds aren't stacked up real good for him. And I was sitting there thinking, I didn't say nothing, I didn't tell Linda, I ain't told nobody that, and I was thinking, wouldn't it be great, I wasn't praying over this game. And I said, wouldn't it be great if that batter hit that ball right over the right hand guy and hit it right out there and knocked them two guys, one on third and one on second base. That batter hit that ball right over second base and drove in those two runs and they won 6-5. In that deal. I'm telling you, sometimes we're thinking, it's over. Honey, it ain't over till you say it's over. Am I right? You got to make a decision. Listen, I'm in this for the long haul, and I do hear the voice of God, and I do obey or I follow God. Amen. It's very important. That's why I think did you ever notice when you get a box and you open a box and look at the instructions, they'll have it in all kinds of languages and such as that. But most people, when they get something to have to put together, most of them don't read them. Is anybody like me? If I got a picture, I'm good. Right? You show me a picture, I'll get it fixed. I think. It don't always work that way. How many's ever put something together and left off a major part that you had to tear everything apart to go back and put it in? How many's ever left something out and just left it out? You say, I can live without it, nobody will know it, and I won't tell them. Huh? And I'm telling you, there's a lot of things. Listen, there's a lot of things, if we're not careful, we'll leave out and act like we can live without it. I'm telling you, God didn't put things in His Word for you to leave it out. Now, you might can live without it, and you might can exist without it, but it'll benefit your life to put it in there. Put that part of the gospel, put that part of your covenant in your life so that you can enjoy your life to a greater degree. You know, Jesus came that you may have life and that you may have it in abundance till it overflows. Amen? Look at John 14, if you will. John 14. Pay attention to the details. He said in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And notice what Jesus said. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What did he tell them? Listen, these are some details. These are some particulars. He said, do you believe in God? Did you know, they say 80% of the people in America believes in God. Believe in God. But 80% of the people don't believe in Jesus as being the way to heaven or way to God. And many of them, I don't know how what their percentage is. I hadn't checked. I hadn't looked. I hadn't tried to look it up. But many, they'll believe in God, but they really don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. And they don't believe that when he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. They don't believe that. Let me ask you a question. If you don't believe that, do you get to the Father? No. You don't get to the Father unless you believe that. You can believe, I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God. Well, you sure, you ought to believe in God, but you got to believe that He's the way to the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And if we don't follow that particular, if we don't follow those details, then we'll never see the Father. Right? And no one else will either. You say, well, I'm sure hoping they will. Well, then we better talk to them. Because Jesus says there's no, actually the Acts says there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. I'm glad you're saved. How many saved? How come you're saved? Because you believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the reason your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's the reason you're going to go to heaven one day. Look in St. John 9. Let's back up a little bit. Pay attention to the details. Verse 1 says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw, 9:1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of God who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now, we got to pay attention to the details and the particulars. Jesus anointed him with clay. And here's the deal about Jesus. Well, he got to do the things the way he felt led to do them. Did you know Jesus was led by the Holy Ghost? Does anybody realize that? Even though he's the Son of God, he was a man. He took on the form of a servant. He was 100% man, 100% God, but he was one that also had the Holy Spirit filled with the Spirit of God in order to carry out his assignment. And so he anointed, and you know, we don't read anywhere else where he made clay and spit on the ground, made clay and put it in a person's eye. Others, he just said, as you believe. Isn't that what he said, Bartimaeus? And as you see, and he, as you believe, so it be to you. And his eyes were open. But this particular one here, he said, "Listen to me. Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Is that a detail? Is that a particular? Why did he tell him that? I don't know. Now the thing about it is, what he could have missed that detail. Even though he heard God say, he could have stopped at a cistern on the way. Well, this is a little closer. I'm just going to wash my eyes out right here and miss the details. You know what it would do? Stop the process of what was taking place. Am I right? So we got to be very careful when we read the Word of God, especially when God's speaking to us. Did you know God can speak to you? And He can give you some details. He's a wonderful detailer. He can give you some details. He can tell you where to go. He can even, if you'll listen to him some days, he may tell you, you may need to take a different route to work. You ever had that feeling on the inside of you that you drove and went a certain way every day, and all of a sudden that feeling, I need to take another route today. You ever had that? Man, I have. And I'm telling you, I listened to it and obeyed it. You said, well, what happened? I don't know. I didn't go that way. Huh? I heard a lady tell me one time she was went to I don't forget where she went to Buffalo every day a certain way, and I don't know which way it was, but it had to be wherever there was a train over the railroad over. It's I don't know if it was Jewett, because I think there's a trail train overpass there, And she said the Lord spoke to her one day to go to a different direction, the other direction. And when she got to work that day, a train had derailed right there on the highway. You know, why would God? Well, maybe she was going to pass over there right then. Listen, we got to listen to the details. What are you telling me, God? What are you telling me? And the word is so detailed, just like he told this blind man. He said, okay, I'm going to make clay, put it on your eyes, and I want you to go to the pool of Siloam, and I want you to wash. And the Bible says when he did that, he came back what? Seeing. I'm telling you, God is into details, and when we do what he... Now, God, now understand God's into mercy and grace also. He is mercy and grace. He'll move sometimes in our ignorance. Thank God. Aren't we glad? Man, I tell you what, I haven't done everything just right. And neither have y'all. Praise God, we're still here though, aren't we? Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. And he said, I'm he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go wash in the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received my sight. What did he said, here's what I did. I did what Jesus told me to do. I did exactly what Jesus told me to do. And because I did exactly what Jesus told me to do, I got exactly what Jesus told me I would get. And it's the same way with us. Amen. If we do what he tells us to do, we listen to the word of God, obey the word of God. We're his sheep. We can hear the voice of God and we'll follow him. And I'm telling you, we get off track sometimes and we mess up sometimes. And praise God, God will pull us back on, woo us back in and get us back on the right track. But I tell you, God's for us, not against us. Understand that. But he's in to details. Amen. Look in Matthew 17. Let's see, verse 24. I like this story right here. It's tax time too, isn't it? When they had come to Capernaum, verse 24, when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? He said, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, what do you think, Simon? From who do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes, from their sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free? Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea. Listen, here's the details. Here's the particulars. Lest we offend them, go to the sea. Cast in a hook and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them from me and you. Now that's pretty cool, isn't it? Wouldn't you like for Jesus to tell you that? Go to Lake Limestone, throw out a hook, and the first fish you pull up, take the money out and pay your taxes. It'd have to be a whale nowadays to hold that much money. I don't know what their taxes was then, but I guarantee you now they're pretty expensive, pretty high, isn't it? Praise God. You know, I think about sometimes, and I know you probably do too. I wonder what goes through their mind when Jesus would tell them to do something like that. Well, what are they thinking? Peter's been a fisherman all his life. He was a commercial fisherman. He owned his own fleet. He had partners with him. And all of a sudden, this carpenter tells him, I want to pay our taxes, mine and yours. Now, we don't know what Peter, he might have had to go and catch a lot of fish to pay his taxes up to that point. And I'm telling him, but that particular time, God says, listen to me, it's tax time. It's amazing, we're in April, it's tax time. And he said, I want you to go to the sea. What'd he say? Put in a hook. I don't even know if he had no bait on it. He just said, put in a hook. I don't know. Put in a hook. And the first fish that bites it, pull it out and look in its mouth. Can you picture this story? Could you picture Peter leaving? I don't know how far he was from the sea, probably not very far. Could you imagine him and Jesus just got through to say, and he probably, he might have been thinking, you know, I've been fishing all my life. And I have never found any money in a fish's mouth, much less enough money to pay his taxes and mine. What in the world is he talking about? Can this even happen? You know, they dealt with things just like us. Don't you know their minds went like that? When God speaks to our heart, tells us to do something, or even when we read it in the Word of God and we're thinking, does God even see where I'm at? Does he even see the situation I'm in? Does he even know my financial status right now? God knows everything about you. And everything he tells us to do is to benefit us and help us, not to hurt us. God's always trying to bring us up higher. Always. And so you could imagine him walking with his fishing pole and walking through there and probably dealing with his mind, dealing with his thoughts, dealing with all kinds of stuff. Did you know it always happens that way with us? When God speaks, even in particulars, and we see God's telling us, God will tell us, give you line by line. And all of a sudden you're walking and say, I don't see how that's going to work. I don't see how that's going to happen. How in the world, how is this going to work? I've never caught a fish like that. I've never seen that much money in a fish's mouth. Now I've made that much money on a whole boatload, but not one fish. And he goes through there and he says, I think I'll just stop at the Jordan River. It's close. It's right here. Water is water. Fish is fish. But instruction is not just instruction. It's amazing how God could tell Charlotte to do something different than he tells me and get the same result. Huh? God would speak to you to do it different and get the same result that I'm believing for and tells me a different way to do it. He's God. He's God. So I could imagine Peter going to the sea and throwing in that hook, pulling up that first fish and saying, well, I'm going to see. I'm going to see if this thing will work. Opens that thing up, and one translation says there's a big piece of silver in his mouth. That had to be a pretty good sized fish, unless it's a largemouth bass. And he took that money. And it don't even say that he started shouting, it works. It works. It works. Sometimes we do, don't we? We say, it worked. That works. You know, God told me to do this and it works. Duh. Isn't that what we're expecting to happen? I think Peter might have been a real reluctant when he went, but he listened to the what? The details. He went and did what Jesus said, went and got enough money to pay for his taxes and Jesus' taxes, the gall of them to tax Jesus, my God. But he went and paid both taxes. Why? Because he listened to the details. He did what God told him to do. Amen? You know, I've had God deal with me on things, and so have y'all. And y'all could probably tell all kinds of stories about your own life. And God tells you to do something that to you seems like it don't make no sense to my mind. It don't make no sense why I can do it. God does, even God, I tell you, when me and Linda used to struggle so bad financially, And it really struggled in the financial area. And even tithing, we struggled. We had a hard time. I think a lot of our hard times sometimes was because of my mouth. I don't want to talk about none of y'all, but my mouth would get in the way. Your mouth can hinder what God wants to do in your life if you're nullifying everything that the Word of God says. I remember God used to, when I go places, he'd speak to me on how much to give. And so, of course, God knows my financial status. It wasn't real great. We was tithers, we was offers, but we was living from paycheck to paycheck, and we was living by the skin of our teeth. I'm talking about barely making it by. And I remember in one particular time when we went to Livingston, I was preaching a camp meeting there, and I had already had my offering out. Sometimes it pays just to wait. And of course, I know I tithe and offer here, and I'll have my check made out because I do all that. But the thing about it is, sitting there one day, and I was sitting there where I had a $10 bill rolled up in my hand, and I was going to put that $10 in the plate, and God was dealing with me. Anybody ever had your offering in your hand and God dealing with your heart, but your mind's done made up? That's where I was. And so I was sitting there with my mind made up, this $10, God, you understand my financial situation, I can't give. And God was saying, I want you to give 100. And I'm telling God, now God, you know, I can't give $100. I just don't have the money to give that. And so he was giving me some details and some particulars, and I was sitting there arguing with him. Just me and him. Nobody was watching that. What's that preacher arguing with Jesus about up there? They didn't know that. I was just calm, cool, and collected. sitting there just arguing with God. And so I'm sitting there with that $10 in my hand waiting for the offering to pass by, and all of a sudden the pastor gets up there to receive the offering. He said, if you was planning on giving $10, give $100. And I said, Linda, where's the checkbook? So I wrote out $100 and put the $10 in there too. And of course I walked out of the church with a whole lot more than that. But the thing about it is, God's into particulars. He's not trying to take something from you. He's trying to get something to you. And if we can look at it that way, he's not, what are you trying to do to me, God? I'm trying to bless you. I'm trying to pour my blessings out upon your life. That's what I'm wanting to do. And if you'll listen to the particulars, listen to the details, and say, okay, God, I might not understand it, but I'm going to go put the hook in. I don't understand it, but I'm going to go to the pool of Siloam and I'm going to wash this stuff off. I don't understand it, but I'm going to do what you told me to do, and I'm going to reap the benefits of it. Amen. Come on, y'all got to hear me a little bit tonight. Amen. So we need to listen to the particulars and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to another one real quick. I know I'm out of time because we've got that to go to next door. Let's go to verse 7 of Matthew real quick. I just want to read this because I think it's very good. Matthew 7, verse 24, and I like this, and y'all will too. Here Jesus is talking again, ministering again. And he said in verse 24, he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So Jesus said this. What was the particulars here? What do we need to see in this detail is? Here's what he said. He said, therefore, he who hears these sayings of mine and does them. Right? There's the details of it. To hear these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the circumstances came, the situations came, the reports came, all these things came to try to knock you off your foundation, but the Bible says it could not because it was founded on the rock. Listen, why? Because not only were you hearing, but you were doing. And that's a major part of this scripture right here. Not only were they hearing it, but they were doing it. And because they were doing it, and listen to me, the insinuation is the same storms, the same situations, the same reports came upon somebody that did not do it, and that house fell. But the one who did it, that house did not fall. I'm going to tell you, we don't want our houses falling. We want them to be steadfast and strong, built upon the rock. Jesus is the rock, by the way. The Word's the rock. And so we build. Let me read this in this, and I'll quit. In the Message Bible, it says, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down. The river flooded. A tornado hit. But nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. I'm telling you, we're fixed to the rock. Isn't Jesus a rock? And so we're fixed to the rock. When are we fixed to the rock? What causes us to be bolted down? The doing of the Word. It causes us to be bolted down to that rock and that foundation. He said, no matter what life throws at you, you're still going to be standing when it's all over. And then it goes on to say here, but if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in, the waves came up and it collapsed like a house of cards. Wow. Isn't that some good instruction? He warns us, don't he? Gives us help. Who's going to stand when it's all said and done? Those who hear the word and what? My sheep what? Hear my voice. And they follow me. And when you follow him, nothing will be able to snatch you out of his hands. Isn't that wonderful news? Yes. Praise God. Well, I'm going to quit. I got to. Or I'll have y'all eating nachos at 12 o'clock. Well, I hope I helped you a little bit. Yes. Praise God. I'm telling you, when you read, pay attention to the details. Pay attention to the details. Get the instructions. Look what God's wanting to say. Because he ain't trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you and bless you. Amen. Praise God.